Merry Christmas, my friend. Here we are on Christmas Eve with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, bringing you all of the good things that we have gathered for you. Miriam Dady will be with me, Tim Linnefelt, Drew Tillman. Great music, great activities going on, and lots of Christmas reflections for you to ponder. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Gift ideas are here at Truck and Car Concepts Christmas sale event. Backup cameras as low as $3.99. High-tech DVD players starting at $5.99. Plus, a layaway program and gift certificates.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tripping out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far.
Superior sound systems as low as $2.99, plus special pricing for custom packages at Truck and Car Concepts across from Kraft Nissan on Mayan Drive. See store for details.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
Merry Christmas, my friend. You are here with me, and we are going to have 2 hours of the annual Merry Christmas show from Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, bringing you Miriam Dady, who will be with me through the 2 hours. Tim Linnefelt will be with us as well as we talk about FSU going to the Orange Bowl on the 30th of this month, facing Michigan. We're going to have all kinds of traditional thoughts and inspirational comments and reflections and the recollection of traditions. Lots of music. I've got Drew Tillman with a song, Great Unknown is the title. Drew Tillman, as you know, for many years has contributed sizably to our musical welfare in this community and across the country. So we'll be hearing from Drew later. Andrew Rybeck is going to be in the business spotlight with a special conversation with Faith and Robert Bassett. They're the owners of New Century Cleaning Services here in Tallahassee. Part of our contribution to the business community is to bring you this business spotlight each week. And with Miriam, we're going to talk about our own experiences in Christmas and some of the things that have gone on around us here in 2016 and are going on. I hope that your Christmas is going to be a good time for you, a reflective and enjoyable celebratory time. For some, it is not. Sadly enough, Christmas this year may not be that joyful time for you. And perhaps in this show, you'll find a bit of respite, a bit of encouragement, perhaps a bit of inspiration. We certainly hope so. We want you to know that we love what we do here and hope that the love that we bring to you in these brief moments of a conversation are reflective of that love, that we find a kind of mutuality, a conversation that you can carry with you, thoughts that may point you in a way that point you in a direction, I guess I should say, or remind you of things that are perhaps a bit more hopeful and encouraging. Indeed, Christmas is all about that encouragement. It is all about the hope and the joy and the wonder that comes when we are presented with an opportunity to get beyond what we don't know, what we hope that we can experience in life. And here comes an answer, the person who says, I am the answer. In fact, I can encourage you and lift you up and bring you to a place where your life is more meaningful. It has purpose. It has direction. It has definition. Somebody wrote that life without God is like a pencil that hasn't been sharpened. It just doesn't have a point to it. And so if you have that moving in your life in such a way that brings you to a clearer understanding of who you are, right, and what you're really worth, that you're worth God's investment in you, the investment of his own life in you. And thereafter, you draw from that a sense of direction and purpose in life. You know, Mark Twain said there are two most important days in one's life, the day you're born and the day you know why. I think there's truth there. I think that when we know why we're here, and I'm not saying that that's a finite answer, I'm saying that we have the hope for finding an answer. Maybe it's a question we continue and should ask all of our lives. You know, what am I doing now? That's a question I ask moment by moment here. What am I doing now? And why? Why am I doing what I do? It's clear for me that in bringing you this Christmas show, we are able to bring a bit of levity and perhaps some merriment, but also some concern and understanding for our community. And we are a community of great diversity, of various interests and backgrounds that all kind of bring us together at certain points. And maybe this is one of those occasions when, regardless of our age or gender, race, political beliefs, or whatever we hang to, whatever we find ourselves engaged in, we find in common a concern for one another. You know, the work of charities of this time of year reminds us of that. The folks at Christmas Connection. And by the way, thank you for helping us help Christmas Connection again this year. Fantastic response. And the support of that effort is magnanimous. We do well as a community, in my opinion. Well, as you know, an annual tradition around here is to invite Uncle Torvald, my uncle from Sweden, to bring us his I Just Go Nuts at Christmas song. So we're going to take a moment, enjoy that, and Andrew Rybeck will be with me right after this break. Let's listen to Uncle Torvald here.
Oh, I just go nuts at Christmas on that jolly holiday. I go in the red like a knucklehead, 'cause I squander all my pay. Oh, I just go nuts at Christmas, shopping sure drives me berserk. On the day before, I rush in the store like a poor, bewildered yerk. And I look for nightgowns for my wife, the black ones trimmed in red. But I don't know her size, and so she gets a carpet sweeper instead. Oh, I just go nuts at Christmas, when each kid hangs up his sock. That's the time for kids to flip their lids while their papa goes in hock. You know, on the night before Christmas, it's still in the house, and my family is sleeping, so I'm quiet as a mouse. I look at my watch. It's the Spiro Agnew one I got for my birthday.
From Air Lindsay?
And midnight is near. I think I'll go out for a cold glass of beer. And down on the corner, the crowd is so merry, I wind up by having about 12 Tom and Jerry. And I get to bed late, and ye wiss how I'm sleeping, when onto my bed those darn kids, they come creeping, and they jump on my head, and they jump on my belly, and I'm quivering all over like a bowl full of jelly. And they shout, Merry Christmas! And my poor wife and me, we stagger downstairs, and she lights up the tree.
You were already lit.
My head is exploding, and my mouth tastes like a pickle.
No herring?
And I slip on a skate and fall over a tricycle. And on Christmas, I hug and I kiss my wife's mother, and the rest of the year, we don't speak to each other. And after dinner, my aunt and my wife's Uncle Louie get into an argument. They're both awfully screwy. And all my wife's family says Louie is right, and then my goofy relations, they join in the fight.
And over in the corner, the television is playing. And over all this racket, Walter Cronkite is saying, "Peace on earth, everybody. Goodwill towards men." Just at that moment, someone slugs Uncle Ben. And then they all run outside whooping so the neighbors will hear. "You know, I'm so glad this Merry Christmas comes just once a year." Well, yes, gone nuts at Christmas, but I sure have lots of fun. Just the same as you, I enjoy it too. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development.
I'm Andrew Rybeck with your Business Spotlight, and with me is Faith and Robert Bassett with New Century Cleaning Services. Thank you guys for coming in. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thank you for having us.
Oh, absolutely. So right off the bat, I see New Century Cleaning Services. Is there a story behind that title? How did you guys come to be? You know, when did this all start?
We started our business December 1st of 1999, and that's how we came to call it New Century Cleaning, because we were going over into a new century. I was working for a real estate management company, and I really wanted to be able to take care of our two small children and be at home with them. So I was just trying to figure out some way to supplement our income and be able to stay home with the kids at the same time. So I started cold calling on, you know, different companies out there after I realized that there was actually money to be made in the cleaning industry, especially the commercial cleaning industry. So I just started cold calling, and I got a couple of people to say, come in and walk our building and give us a bid, of which I got one of those. And soon after that, I got a much larger account, a medical facility, and I called my husband at his job, and I told him, I said, well, I really need for you to quit your job and and come on and help me, because it was starting to grow, you know, very rapidly. And the amount of money, that I saw we could make was quite a bit more than we were making on just regular jobs out there. So it's all worked out really well for us.
Okay. And so what kind of services do you offer? I know, do you handle mostly in-house cleaning or mostly office building cleaning? What kind of services?
We normally just do janitorial, office buildings, banks, commercial buildings, you know, factories, so forth. There's a couple of factories that we do, one in Havana and one on the south side of town in Tallahassee. And we do quite a bit of, you know, office spaces. We clean over 1 million square feet every night as basic janitorial. We strip and wax floors. We clean carpet, wash windows, and stuff like that. So we also have a full line of paper products and soap. We also provide the paper towel dispensers and soap dispensers, deodorizers for bathrooms and so forth.
Okay. So, and I know that one of your focuses is on, you know, the green products and things of that sort. With that, you know, what really makes you stand apart from other janitorial services out in the competition?
Basically, we have the experience that's needed. We are very much motivated in making sure that a building is clean. Our customers are happy with what we are providing to them. We go through background checks on all our employees. They're very well trained. They have, our employees are basically well established in the community. If they don't work for us full time, then they have a full time job during the day and they work for us in the evenings. Basically, anytime there's something that needs to be done in the building, the building owner or manager or our facility manager can just give us a call, and if it needs to be done right away, we'll come out and take care of it or schedule it to be done that night.
Communication has really been the key, I think. With most of our clients, we have been complimented, especially Robert, since he's out there, you know, supervising and overseeing all of it. We've had many times clients have told me, you know, they said, well, we have a problem. We call, Robert goes out there, schedules it, calls his supervisors, because he has supervisors on some of the larger accounts too, and they take care of it right away. That apparently is not the case with a lot of other companies that, you know, they have had in the past. So the communication key, being hands-on, is really a big plus, I think, because we really try to work hard to offer a good service and not just run in a building, grab the trash and leave and get your money and go.
Right.
That's not how you can make a business grow. So you have to really work with your clients and not only just our clients, our employees. You have to respect your employees, and we make sure, you know, that we do treat our employees right.
I mean, a lot of our employees have been with us for 10.
Oh, yeah. We've had some that's been with us for long as 10, 12 years now.
Yeah.
And, we have some really good employees out there.
I know you mentioned, was it your sons that have a carpet cleaning business that you kind of work with?
Or? They do. We started, we helped them start this First Impressions Carpet and Tile Cleaning back in August of this year. Robert went out and helped them purchase the van and the machines and all that, you know, that you have to have for the business. So we're really trying to help them with the growth of their business since it's new. And it also helps, you know, our business, because we're able to offer more to our clients through them. And it is something, another area that we're really wanting to grow, being able to do all the floor work. Robert's very experienced with stripping and waxing and carpet cleaning and tile and grout, all of this, because he has basically, I guess he could say, he taught himself throughout the last 18 years of us being in business. So it's really, you know, it's a big plus for our company to expand into that area. They're nice and fresh for the clients, you know, when they come in Monday morning.
Right.
So
you got to have a clean office
makes everybody a little Monday morning. Everyone wants to be a little happier because it's Monday.
Yeah, it's Monday. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, any new potential clients want to find you, how would they do so?
Go to our website at newcenturycleaning.com. That's probably the best way to find out a little bit about us, and then you can contact us directly through the website or call us.
Or they can call us at 894-6226, area code 850.
That number goes directly to our office, and if we're not in, it also links it straight to our cell phones for either one of us.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you for coming in. That was, you know,
well, thank
great
you so much
having you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. With Tallahassee's Business Spotlight, I'm Andrew Brybeck. You stay right here.
In 1939, a young copywriter named Robert L. May of the Montgomery Ward Company wrote a Christmas poem to be shared with their store customers. The popularity of this little poem grew famously until it became one of America's most treasured. So much so that 10 years later, it was the basis of a song written by Johnny Marks and recorded by Gene Autry. As a child, May was often taunted and ostracized for being shy and small in stature, so it was easy for him to capture those emotions as he told us the story of one strange-looking reindeer with a shiny red nose. And now you know another Christmas story. From Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive, call 402-0557 and Rambana and Ricci Immigration Attorneys, 224-4529 and Universal Collision with two locations, 894-3600.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, of course, this is good news for all Seminole fans. We have the very well-spoken, informative, and informed Tim Linnefelt with us for a special edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I'm all those wonderful things that you just said.
Merry Christmas to you. And to your lovely wife and to all of the other Linnefelts, wherever they may be.
Scattered about.
And may I say, too, go Noles as we look forward to the Orange Bowl for 2016?
Yeah.
Is that 17 or 16?
Well, it's a weird deal. It is officially 2016. The game is on December 30th. It's typically on the 1st, but not this year.
Right. So coming up next week,
Friday night,
in Miami town, we will watch Michigan go up against the likes of the Seminoles. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you anticipate in the game. What are some of the high points at this moment?
It should be pretty fun. Anytime you see a Florida State or a team from the South go up against a team from the Big Ten, it sort of conjures up images of clashes in style and the way they play. Typically, I think the stereotype is the speed of the Southern teams versus the strength and size of the Northern teams. And I think that those lines have blurred a lot over the last few years. Mm. But still, I think when you look at this particular matchup, I think it kind of applies. You know, Florida State's got a lot of athletes from the South Florida area, guys making their homecomings, if you will.
Yeah.
And Michigan, arguably their best player on offense is a tight end named Jake Butt, B-U-T-T.
Huh.
So with that in mind, I think it's going to be, like I said,
We're going to let everybody fill in their own punchline.
I don't know that you have to. And you know, to his credit, if you follow college football, you know he doesn't shy away from it. If your last name is Butt, I think you kind of have to embrace it, right?
Yeah.
And just sort of have fun with it.
Indeed.
He's been able to do that. So, and again, nobody will be laughing if Florida State doesn't cover him on Friday night. No. He scores two or three touchdowns. So
he'll be laughing all the way into the end zone. How do you characterize Michigan's game offensively?
Are
they passing or are they a running team?
A little bit of both. Really, the strength of their team is on the defense. Mm-hmm. They have a solid quarterback. I don't know that he's great. And they have some nice receivers, but I think they win games with their defense.
Yeah.
They had a rarity, which is one of their players, Jabril Peppers, was sort of a do-everything defensive end, linebacker, pass rusher kind of guy. He was a Heisman finalist, and you don't see defensive players become Heisman finalists too often. Mm. They had the number two ranked defense in the country, number two pass rush in the country in terms of total sacks, behind only, fun fact, Florida State. So I expect a lot of defense. I know that doesn't really answer your question.
Well, it does from the other side, but in fact, it makes us all a bit nervous when I think about how our O-line has not always been particularly effective. And if they have a formidable defense, especially able to penetrate that offensive line.
Well, and that's been sort of the theme of the season for Florida State in a lot of ways, is what did we expect from the offensive line? The good news, in my opinion, is that the offensive line has performed much better over the second half of the season.
Do you think they defend as well against the rush and the pass? I mean, are they strong in the secondary, or are they pretty balanced in terms of their defensive play?
They're pretty balanced. I think they're a little bit better against the run, but obviously Florida State's strength is in its rushing game and Dalvin Cook.
So there will be a formidable contest there.
Huh? Yeah. So how's the cliche go? An unstoppable force and an immovable object or what have you.
Yeah.
I expect it to be a lot of fun, though. I think it's going to be a really good game. Two extremely high-profile head coaches, obviously Jimbo Fisher, who, I don't know if you knew this, has the second most wins in college football since he took over seven years ago. Can you believe that now?
That is a hard thing to realize.
And then Jim Harbaugh, who for those of you in this studio who are fans of the NFC West, I remember him from his days with the San Francisco 49ers. Certainly a bright and colorful personality. He's not afraid to speak his mind and say something kind of weird and quirky. But, you know, that's what makes it fun, right?
So, in fact, Michigan is going to give them a run for their money. This is not a one-sided contest from your point of view.
No. And in fact, I mean, Florida State is the underdog in this game. Michigan is ranked sixth in the country. And were it not for, you know, some probably unfortunate luck and a loss in overtime in the last week of the regular season to Ohio State, Michigan would probably be in the playoff right now.
Yeah.
So the question then becomes, and this is always the situation with bowl games, is who's going to be more motivated? Who wants it? Because at the end of the day, I don't want to say it's an exhibition because there are things at stake, but this has no implication as far as championships or anything like that goes. So it really is about pride. It's about finishing on a strong note. If you care about sending your seniors out in the best way possible.
On a win, sure.
Right. And so, but now the question becomes, if you're Michigan, you are seconds away, theoretically, from playing in the playoff. Now that's off the table. You're not going to win a national championship game. Is a win over Florida State in the Orange Bowl motivation enough for you to show up and play your best game? Now, Florida State's kind of coming this from a different perspective, whereas FSU's national championship hopes were pretty much gone a month into the season after that loss to North Carolina. You go on and lose another one to Clemson at the end of October, and you've got three losses, and everybody wasn't feeling so hot about things. Well, to rebound, have the type of November Florida State did and kind of slide your way into a higher profile bowl that a month ago nobody would have anticipated. You see what I mean?
It
seems like it has potential to mean more to one side than the other. Now, we'll see exactly how that plays out come Friday, but I think a win would, to me, just looking at it on paper, you could make the case that a win would mean more to Florida State than it would to Michigan.
I got you. So, in fact, we should expect FSU's offensive plan to be fairly familiar to us. I mean, we're going to see Dalvin Cook. We're going to see Francois doing the things they normally would do, or are they preparing differently for this defense, do you think?
I don't think. Florida State offensively really doesn't change a whole lot from game to game. They sort of like to do what they do.
They play their game, right.
Well, and when you have a running back like Dalvin Cook, you give him the ball and either it works or it doesn't, and far more often than not, it does. And what they like to do, obviously, is use the running game to set up the pass and then cut for a few big runs, get the defense to creep up closer to the line of scrimmage or commit more to focus on stopping the run, and that's when you attack over the top with the pass. So that, I think, is what you'll see. That doesn't really, Florida State's offensive game plan hasn't changed a whole heck of a lot, really, in the last 6-7 years.
Yeah. In fact, you talk about the effectiveness of Michigan's defense. We have gone through those adjustments, and maybe November's outcome is an example or the result of that offensive line being less offensive and more offensive in their approach. They've been able to stand in and say, okay, now I know I've got to make that block. I can't just let that. And it seemed like they'd made some changes in personnel.
They have. There have been some injuries up there that they've had to deal with, but they've actually kind of worked out, I don't want to say in their favor, but their replacements have gone have done well at right tackle. They've sort of gone back and forth between Rick Leonard, Brock Rubel, and then back to Rick Leonard.
Yeah.
And it seemed like, Rick Leonard's the guy. He started the season as a starter. He began this year. He just switched from defense to offense in the spring, struggled out of the gate a little bit, went back to the second string role, got a little more comfortable in practice, and about a month or so later came back in the starting lineup and looked like a different guy.
Gotcha.
So, and then the other side is at right guard, where Wilson Bell, they started every game a year ago, lost his job to a true freshman early on in this season. Well, later on, that true freshman got hurt.
Yeah.
And to Wilson Bell's credit, he didn't pout, didn't stamp his feet, at least not that we saw. He actually ended up, worked hard in practice and got better. And when his time came again, and lo and behold, it did, he looked like a much improved player as well. And so I do think that plays a big part in why we've seen Florida State's offense and offensive line improve late in the season, as those personnel changes as a result of things that maybe you couldn't have foreseen.
Talking with Tim Linnefeld here, the Linnefeld Sports Report, one of the very well-celebrated folks that makes our view of Florida State athletics, particularly Florida State football, much more enjoyable. And you do so from the road as well. So you're out there with Seminoles.com tweeting yourself silly. And it's always kind of fun to get those pregame shots. You know, you'll be up there at some stadium somewhere in the country. Mm-hmm. And for all of us who are following you online, we get this pregame look at the stadium with maybe one guy standing out there.
Yeah, we usually get there so early.
Just to make sure the lights are turned on or something.
Right, yeah, we get there so early. We're usually, you know, opening up the place or they're trying to convince security to let us in. And right. No, it's not open yet.
How do we follow you on Twitter?
It's just my name, Tim, T-I-M underscore Linnefelt, L-I-N-A-F-E-L-T.
Yeah, you should do that, folks, during the game. It's fun to kind of keep track of Tim and his observations there. He will be at the game, no doubt.
Yes.
Carrying on as he does so very well on behalf of Florida State Athletics, Seminoles.com. You stay with me. We've got a little bit more here. Tim's going to stay with us through the second hour of the show. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cern.
Tallahassee Talks is here. It's Christmas. And we are here to wish you the very merriest of all the Christmases that you could possibly imagine wherever you may be at this moment. We certainly pray that it's good for you, that you're with family and friends and loved ones. If not, if you're celebrating Christmas on your own, well, we're glad that you've made your Christmas plans to include us. And I've got the very lovely Miriam Dady with me. How are you, my friend?
Merry Christmas, Brian. I'm glad I'm here with you.
A pleasure. And in her position here, your ableness is co-host and host of our Business Spotlight regularly. Always a pleasure to be able to bring you to our audience in a way that gives you a little bit more latitude. I know that with all that you have going on in your family and with all of your activities and friends, you keep a pretty tight schedule.
I do.
And somehow you squeeze cookie making into all of that.
Well, you got to do that.
Right.
You have to do the holiday things. But, you know, no Christmas is the same. People try to keep traditions and they try to keep all of their memories alive. But every Christmas has something new. Uh-huh. And I know everybody listening knows that one Christmas is going to bring something brand new to their life and to their memories and add to that whole flavor.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's what it's been like for me
here
this
we
season.
Are, Christmas Eve 2016, and as we look back through the year that has transpired, it has been remarkable in its impact. The number of things that have happened, of course, dominated, I suppose, by the political activities and all the presidential race and all that has gone on nationally and locally. Christmas for you is what then? Is this celebration or is it more reflection or a little of both?
Oh, that's a good question. I really see Christmas as more reflective. I probably do as I get older. but I see Christmas more as a time, I mean, the natural kind of gait of Christmas speeds up, but it's about peace.
Yeah.
So I have to consciously make myself slow down and remember the people I love and care for and remember those who aren't maybe aren't here to enjoy this Christmas.
And I remember you mentioning that at your church, they actually have a, what do they call it, a blue Christmas?
Blue Christmas, which could be any number of reasons people aren't, you know, jolly.
Celebratory.
They aren't necessarily jolly, but they still are reflective and have gratitude and have things to be thankful for or look forward to on the horizon.
And some of those who are in attendance are those who have lost loved ones.
Yeah.
And not necessarily in recent days, but maybe they're just recalling those days when.
It could be any kind of loss. I mean, it's a not a fun service, but it's a cathartic service.
Yeah.
And to,
as you say, reflective and
to offer worship and gratitude and kind of submit yourself to a place of peace when you have things that are unresolved in your heart and your mind.
Yes.
It takes a lot of guts to do that, but you leave with such a sense of peace.
Remarkable that in our community in the last several weeks, we've had some tragic losses.
Right.
You know, a Tallahassee Fire Department captain.
Boy.
Who all of a sudden is taken from us.
Yeah.
Right. And then a Childs High School student who is killed. And then the wife of a very close friend to so many people, a man who, Bert, who has been in real estate for many, many, many years. And you just sit back and go, if that were me, at least this is what I do, how would I cope with that? How would I deal with it? And how would Christmas even figure into my thinking and my life at that moment? And here you're talking about a church and people within that church that step up and say, well, here's how we're going to do this.
Yeah. It is definitely a time of worship. Think about Mary and Joseph on this journey with nothing but the clothes on their backs and a sack or two, being turned away everywhere. This was not a fun journey for them. They weren't on vacation. No Club Med in their future there. Right. Just going to register for taxes.
Right.
What a drag the first Christmas was.
Honey, you're going to love this. I'm taking you back to Bethlehem.
And she's like, I'm not up for travel.
I mean, come
right
on,
now.
Really? Joe, can we talk about this? Oh, boy. Yeah, a good reminder there that while perhaps tinsel and holly and pretty lights are part of our scene, Christmas in its origin is something quite different, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it gives me a moment to talk about this article that I had a chance to write for Tallahassee Family Magazine. And the title of the article is Hope for the Holidays, right? Which came about because I was thinking through a lot of those same kinds of issues. And where does that hope lie in a holiday that otherwise is, at some level, can be kind of garish, you know, sort of gaudy, right? or the billion lights on your house. This is really, you know, and we can make fun of that and say, I'm so glad that Jesus came as a little baby because otherwise we wouldn't have all these pretty lights on our house. I mean, this is what he came for. It made me dig a little deeper into the whole notion of holly or holy day, where the holiness of the day is really represented in the kind of reflective stance that you take, the kind of gratitude, the humility, right? The sort of humbling of self, which then Mary and Joseph did.
Yeah.
They said, okay, this is not the best time for us to make a trip, but we're going to go do this.
Yeah.
And so they humbled themselves, and in so doing, she brings forth her firstborn son and names him Emmanuel.
Yeah, how about that?
God with us.
I mean, there was no one at the inn that was willing to give up their room for a woman who is 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And they go to the manger.
Striking. Yeah.
It couldn't have smelled good.
Yeah, their housekeeping was probably not to par.
Can you feature it?
With most of us expecting, you know, the soap dish to be sparkling.
Right. And, you know, this is also Christmas Eve is coincidentally Hanukkah.
Ah.
It's Hanukkah, too.
Isn't that cool?
And imagine celebrating that you don't run out of oil for a lamp. Wow.
Wow.
But again, we're talking about humility.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Wherever you are, my friend, we're glad that you're here with us in this capacity, that we have a chance to share holiday tidings of great joy on this Christmas Eve. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, along with my good friend and co-host, Miriam Dady. You stay with us. We got more right after this.
Trucking Heart Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Trucking Heart Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Gift ideas are here at Truck and Car Concepts Christmas Sale Event. Backup cameras as low as $3.99. High-tech DVD players starting at $5.99. Plus, a layaway program and gift certificates.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far.
Superior sound systems as low as $2.99, plus special pricing for custom packages at Truck and Car Concepts across from Kraft Nissan on Mayan Drive. See store for details.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are. We're back in the second hour. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our good friend Miriam Dady staying with us through the hour. Great to have her along. Such an able soul. And what an interesting person she is. And I know you don't get enough opportunity to really get to know her. She is dutiful in her duties. Is that the right way to put that? Faithful in her duties. But she certainly is dutiful and beautiful. All right, stop. In her pursuit of our business spotlight guest, and man, she does such a great job in bringing these folks to us. Does that, as I say, faithfully week after week. But on this occasion, we have opportunity to snag her, keep her with us through the show. So she'll be with me again here in the hour, talking about our own personal experiences in Christmas and some of the thoughts we have about why it is and what it is, what it means to us individually as well as it does to us, or what it is for us as a community. And let's see, what else have I got here going on? I mentioned Drew Timlin earlier. He'll be in our segment 6 feature here in just a moment. So that's good stuff. And then, of course, our good friend Tim Linnefelt, he's got his comments regarding the FSU Orange Bowl matchup with Michigan. He's been with us here in the first hour. If you missed that first segment talking about offense and defensive strategies and how that will work going forward as they meet in the Orange Bowl this coming Friday evening, so the 30th. And Michigan is favored. They're ranked, I think, number 8 in the country. So Florida State will have its hands full, a pretty formidable defense with Michigan. We'll learn more of the details in this portion of the show with Tim coming up at the bottom of the hour. And with all of that, I want to make sure you're aware of some of the other activities going on. It's always a pleasure to point to our friends over there at tallyconnection.com, courtesy of FSU Credit Union. Those are the folks that sponsor all this for us. They bring together all of these events on one page from various organizations and individuals. And a lot's going on, man. It's Christmas Eve. You can go out to the center of Tallahassee and go ice skating if you want to do that. That's a cool thing to do. You can do that this afternoon. Let's see. Let It Snow is at the Challenger Learning Center again tonight. So that's good. Check them out. And you got the Tallahassee Farmers Market this morning. Man, they're bristling with all kinds of wonderfully fresh produce delivered right there to the market square in the market district out there on the north end of town. Wonderfully fresh, I wanted to say. Let's see. What else have we got? Brickyard Farmers Market is at the center of Tallahassee. So there you go. There's another farmers market. And Frenchtown has its farmers market. So, folks, if you're into fresh, man, it's all over. You got lots of choices between Market District, the center of Tallahassee, and Frenchtown. Pretty cool. Of course, this evening, lots of Christmas Eve services. St. Paul's United Methodist is tonight. There's a 5 o'clock and a 7 o'clock candlelight service. That's pretty nice. Here's one that's Christmas Eve candlelight and carols at the Lake Ella Gazebo. Ooh. So if you're more interested in something outdoors for candlelight reflection with carols at the Lake Ella Gazebo, well, there you go. That's at 11 o'clock tonight. That's pretty cool. Our friends at Go Foster have a little fundraiser going on. And what's that called? It says, join us at Grasslands on Sundays for Let's Get Beers Together. Okay. This month's featured organization is Go Foster. So it's a fundraiser, and they've tapped Go Foster, which is a great organization that helps support needs of foster kids, and we got to do that, right? That's a good thing. So this is all on the list of fun and exciting things to do. Let's see. I know there's always something else, too, that I end up wishing I'd told you about. This one's coming up next week. Seasons of Art. Seasons of Art instructor Kylie Nemi is at Lemoyne Center for the Visual Arts. That's like a ongoing class, it looks like. And that goes through the 30th. That's in the mornings. So it may be on the tail end there. You might want to check that out, though. Check in with Lemoyne Center for the Visual Arts. Such great folks over there. And a great way to keep yourself plugged into artistic endeavors. Of course, their holiday show is ongoing right now. What a fabulous display of art and artistry that is. It's fabulous. Tallahassee Swing Band is in performance at Lake Ella Tuesday nights at 7:30 at the American Legion Hall. That's kind of cool. All right, well, I think that's a good cross representation of what's going on. So that's neat. Oh, and here's one last one. Here's Fairy Dust Faces for Kids at Mario's, little pizza place up there on Appalachian Parkway. That happens on Tuesday at 5:30. All right, so enough of that. We have at the same time our own news about Tallahassee Family Magazine. If you've not taken note, it is out now, the latest edition, at all of the local Publix grocery stores. They have their news racks there at the front of the store where you can pick up a copy free of charge. It's our compliment to you. And wow, what an amazing publication this is. And on the cover, Laura Green, who is the chief scientist over there at the Mag Lab. She's an eminent physicist that brings a very exciting dynamic to the Mag Lab with her array of talents. So we've gotten a chance to get to know her by way of this magazine. A great feature cover story there, written by Kristen Coyne. There's a quote here. She says, "I remember when I started kindergarten that I already had all of the distances of all the planets to the sun and from each other memorized." It's like asking somebody, what did you want to do when you were a little kid? You know, what did you want to do when you grew up? Well, apparently Laura knew very clearly what she wanted to do. I remember asking President Eric Barron that question. Do you ever want to imagine yourself being a college president? This is while he was still president here at FSU. He said, no, I wanted to be a geologist. I asked for a geology kit for my 8th birthday. Well, there you go. So Laura Green brings us her story in the very fine pages of this publication, Tallahassee Family Magazine. Great, great little pub. Look for it this week at Publix. Folks, you stay with me. I've got this conversation with Drew Tillman coming up and his song, Great Unknown. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
In our segment 6, feature 4 today, we thought it appropriate to bring back to you our very good friend, a friend to so many of you, Drew Tillman, one of the many fine musicians in our community. If Tallahassee has a sound, and that's the question of on the minds of many who consider what is Tallahassee, culturally, let's say, musically. Drew Tillman is certainly one of those architects, one of those folks who is helping to bring to us a sound that is unique to our region, to our community. As he does so, he is recognized nationally. He's been invited to the 30A Songwriters Festival multiple times, one of the few in our area to have been granted that invitation. He's performed all over the country, recorded extensively. This song, Great Unknown, seemed quite appropriate, given that at this time of year when we celebrate Christmas and we think about the mysteries of Christmas, there is an unknown aspect, right? In fact, most of what Christmas is to us in the deepest possible sense from the standpoint of it being this event in human history, is unknown. And so we thought, hey, well, here's a song that Drew brought us, The Great Unknown, that talks about what it means to be cradled in the arms of that great unknown, what it means to embrace mystery, what it means to find yourself hoping for the very best possible outcome, and yet having to rely on something greater than oneself, having to rely on something or someone who is beyond our own ability to answer the questions. Certainly here in 2016, we are heading into the new year with all kinds of questions, all kinds of unknowns. And as one able spokesperson has said, it's not the unknown things that bother us. It's what we don't know that we don't know. The unknown unknowns, right? Well, Drew Tillman has a much better way of saying that to you as we take advantage of his glorious, magnificent, proficient musical talents. So here is Drew Tillman, Great Unknown. Christmas 2016, the music of Drew Tillman, Great Unknown, one of the many who have graced us this year with music, inspiration. You stay with me, we've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on this very special Merry Christmas annual presentation.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best.
like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
In 1853, English hymn writer John Mason Neal wrote the lyrics for A Christmas Carol, telling the story of a good king who went out on the Feast of Stephen, the day after Christmas, to bring food and firewood to a poor peasant. According to legend, the king's page complained of the bitter cold and deep snow and was about to turn back when this saintly king instructed him to simply follow in his footsteps. Miraculously, the page found that with each step, his feet were warmed along the journey. Thomas Helmore sent the inspiring lyrics to a 13th century tune and gave us the beloved carol, Good King Wenceslas. And now you know another Christmas story.
From Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy, 875-3908. Rambana and Ricci, immigration attorneys. Call 224-4529. And Tallahassee Family Magazine. Real stories, real family, real Tallahassee.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, we do have in studio today for our very special Christmas show the eminent authority on Florida State football in this room at this time, and that would be Tim Linnefelt for the Linnefelt Sports Report, an extended edition. Thanks for sticking around for the second hour, sir.
Well, you know, I had cookies to bake Santa, but they can wait for a little while.
Well, hold on to your cookies, folks, because Tim Linnefelt's going to talk about Florida State coming up against Michigan in the Orange Bowl on Friday night the 30th, just about a week from today, this coming Friday now. We talked in the first hour about Michigan's defense, Florida State's offense. Let's flip that around. When Michigan hits the field and they're ready to start scoring points against Florida State, what's Florida State's best role in that capacity? What do they have to do to stop Michigan?
Well, the first thing, like we mentioned in that first segment, Michigan has a really talented tight end, Jake Butt, and Florida State's going to have to cover him. Covering tight ends is really difficult to do in modern football. It's sort of a cheat code if you have a really good one, because typically speaking, they're too big to be covered by defensive backs and too fast to be covered by linebackers. So that's going to be a challenge there for Florida State safeties and linebackers. And then, you know, like any other game, and if, you know, again, you talk about Florida State, they don't really change all that much. I think they're going to try to own the line of scrimmage with their defensive line, which has played much like the offensive line, a lot better over the second half of the season. Florida State leads the nation in sacks. DeMarcus Walker, the senior, will be playing in his last game. As he goes, so goes the Florida State defense a lot of times. Even if he's not recording sacks, which more often than not he is, but even if he's not, if he's just affecting plays, if he's forcing bad throws or hurried throws or knocking the quarterback down and making him think twice before he steps up and delivers a throw, those are all positive things for Florida State. So the matchup to watch there is going to be him against Michigan's tackles. They like to move DeMarcus Walker around. They move him from side to side, sometimes even move him inside to match up against a slower, bigger lineman if that situation allows. And so, you know, we talked about the idea of the size and strength of Michigan up against the athleticism of Florida State. Well, DeMarcus Walker is actually one of the bigger, stronger guys on that defense. He's more sort of a power player. So I think that matchup, if he can get into the backfield or even – again, you know, the things that you do in peripheral ways draw enough attention from Michigan's offensive line that other guys are freed up to make plays.
Yeah.
That's going to be the thing. If Michigan can block DeMarcus Walker one-on-one, that's bad news for Florida State. Not many people have been able to do that so far.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that Michigan comes into this game as the favored. Do you have any particular thoughts about how special teams will play into this? If the matchup turns out to be pretty tight, will special teams play in strongly here or less so?
Well, they typically do, especially in a tight game. And quite frankly, Florida State special teams have been a bit of an adventure this season, and really across the board in field goal kicking. which I think is to be expected when you have a pair of freshman kickers. We've seen Ricky Aguayo and Logan Tyler look really good at times, and then we've seen them look not so good at times. So you have to hope that, 15 practices between the regular season finale and this game will help those guys hammer out some issues and tighten up just enough, because there could be, you know, some high-profile kicks that take place there. And then the other thing that you got to watch out for is punt return defense. Florida State's punt return defense for a lot of the season ranked near the bottom of the country in terms of yards allowed. And there's some plays that skew that a little bit. If you give up one long return early in the season like Florida State did, odds are you're going to be toward the bottom of the country for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But that said, we've seen enough to know that Florida State's punt return defense has been pretty shaky at times. And again, you know, the last thing you want is to be, you know, say up by three or four in the fourth quarter, punting late in the game and give up a 40 or 50 yard return. That's just so deflating. And so, again, do I expect Florida, you know, it's hard to say special teams will determine this game, but it's always it's always a factor, especially between two fairly evenly matched teams.
My wonder, too, is how these high-profile games, such as they are, bowl games, tend to be, especially the top, five or six games, Orange Bowl being one of those, Rose Bowl, of course.
Right.
How does that affect the players? You know, they're in prime time. It's on a Friday night, the Orange Bowl. Coaches spend a lot of time trying to keep them focused. Or do they just sort of let them go? Say, hey, you play your best game.
I think they try to keep them focused, and it depends on the individual guy. It's hard to paint with a broad brush on that. You know, some players grew up watching college football and seeing the pageantry of the Orange Bowl and all that kind of stuff. You know, most of them,
it's a big deal.
I don't think any of them now are old enough to remember when Florida State played Nebraska in the Orange Bowl for the national championship game. But obviously, for those of us who lived in Tallahassee for a certain amount of time, that's one of your first Orange Bowl memories. The thing that I would sort of in that vein that I think about is that, again, this game is being played in Miami, and Florida State recruits South Florida and the Miami area so heavily that this is going to be a sort of a second homecoming for a lot of players. And you're going to see this. They played at Miami earlier this year. It's always a special occasion for that. Well, now you get another one to go back down to Miami. Dalvin Cook is one of those players from Miami. Yep. Matthew Thomas, a starting linebacker. So it's an opportunity for those guys to play in front of friends and family. To sort of, you know, get to see some people that maybe they don't get to see. You know, for a lot of those players, you know, the team is meeting in Miami on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So a lot of players will be away from home on Christmas. Well, these guys will be at home on Christmas. So it sounds like a really good thing. You know, if you want to be nervous about something, it's the idea that, you know, if you're home with your family, your mom, your girlfriend, or whatever else, maybe you don't devote the usual level of focus and practice that you might. There's other distractions available to you. But you like to think that being home and playing in front of a home crowd for really several of Florida State's players, you like to think that have a positive effect rather than a negative one. But it's a fact that I think is much more for Florida State, obviously, than it would be for Michigan.
Gotcha. So this coming Friday night, December 30th, the Orange Bowl in Miami. We should also mention, in addition to Florida State football, basketball is moving quite well for both women and men.
Yeah.
Let's talk about women's basketball for a minute. What are your first thoughts?
I think they've been fantastic. They were just a hair of their chinny chin chin away from beating number one UConn to start the season at home, and that was without their best player, Leticia Romero. They haven't lost since then. They're ranked number seven in the country. And are cruising right along. We'll see what happens when they get to ACC play. But they had the look of a team that absolutely can contend for the Final Four. Now, there's a list of teams that can contend for the Final Four. But you know, they made the Sweet 16 last year, the Elite Eight the year before that. And I think this team is better than either of those two teams. So it's early. But judging by the fact that, again, if you have Leticia Romero as your starting point guard and an Olympic silver medalist with the Spanish national team in Rio this summer, she missed that game. I have to think that your best player and an Olympic silver medalist might be worth a few more points.
Yeah.
And think about where this team would be if they had beaten Connecticut, who is still Connecticut and demolishing teams. We thought they might take a step back this year, but that hasn't been the case. So, I mean, they just look fantastic.
Yep. And let's talk about men's basketball real quick. When you think of their future, and the men's basketball enterprise has been a little tougher along the way, I think a bit more heartbreaking for a lot of them, certainly for the players.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think's going on this year?
Well, they have a lot of talent. The big break that they got was when Dwayne Bacon, who was a freshman last year, a high school All-American, I think a lot of people expected him to play 1 year in college and then leave.
Yeah.
Well, he played 1 year and decided to come back, so that's a pretty big deal. And then you couple him with a guy named Jonathan Isaac, who's a freshman sort of I don't even know how you describe him, but he's almost 7 feet tall, and he looks as skinny as a rail, but he's just so big and powerful, and he's just athletically he's so big and so strong, but also so fast that he's a matchup nightmare for anybody. So between those two players and then a pretty deep cast of supporting players, the Florida State goes about, they have about 12 players that they've been relying on throughout games and getting extended minutes. I think last year due to injuries and some other things, they had about seven in their rotation. Well, now they're going 12, so they're able to keep guys fresh, get them a break when they need to, or if they need to just clear their mind for a little bit, whereas before you had to play those players, right, you know, more than 30 minutes a game, where I think I think Dwayne Bacon is averaging 26 minutes a game. But for a 40-minute game, it's startlingly low.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're able to do that and stay fresh and get everybody involved is, while also still having high-level top-end talent, is a really big deal. They're 12-1. They're off to their best start in 13 years, I think 2003-04.
Wow.
And we'll find out what they're made of pretty quick here, because they play Wake Forest at home next week, and then after that it's six straight games against teams that are either ranked or could be ranked by then. So it'll be a difficult stretch, but they seem like they're up for it.
Very cool. Tim Linnefelt, an extended edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report here, courtesy of Seminoles.com, who does such a great job in keeping us all posted. And right along with Tim Linnefelt, be sure you follow him online, Tim_Linnefelt there on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be looking forward to all of this happening. Again, the Orange Bowl coming up Friday night the 30th from Miami. Tim, thank you so much.
You got it, Brian.
Once again, Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Take care. Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up right after this. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back, and we're talking with Marion Beatty, and Christmas is alive and well in 2016 on this Christmas Eve, and you are here with us, and we're so delighted. We have cookies and eggnog standing by, just in case we are in short need of such things. And it happens, too, as we reflect upon the truth of Christmas, the magnitude of Christmas in its simplicity. It is God incarnate. It is the person of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And, you know, when you start to simplify your understanding, my understanding of what God is saying in this act, these events that transpired, you're left with a kind of untold or unexplained mystery. Now, why did it have to go this particular way?
Mm.
You know, why did all of these other much larger events, why did Caesar declare that a tax should be levied? And how was that anticipated as part of this whole story? So, I mean,
yeah, how in the world did the Roman Empire tie all of Western civilization together for this very event?
In this moment. And so if those things were serendipitous, that they just happened to occur that way, well, you're left with even, at least I'm left with even more astonishment that this was all sort of random and odd, that it just all kind of lined up the way it did.
Yeah.
One could argue that other such events throughout the history of the human race defy such explanation, right? That all of it just somehow sort of worked out without there being a guiding hand, divinely inspired and directly divinely a divine intervention, right?
Yeah.
So I think of these two, and we mentioned it earlier, Mary and Joseph, who find themselves entrusted with this moment in their lives. And it's certainly not something that they had anticipated. We have been told this story so often, I think. And as you say, it's been westernized to the hilt. We've forgotten some of the humanity involved, I think, or we just don't think through what does that really mean if something of that nature were to happen in your life. And some of you listening right now might say, yeah, I've had those kinds of experiences, up or down,
yeah,
in which I sort of sat back and said, I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to deal with this. We can say that here in 2016.
Yeah.
A number of events have transpired for us locally, nationally, and maybe personally.
Yeah.
And so when I think of Christmas, I think of us gathering around this idea that we are connected, that as families we are connected to one another, and families connected to families, to form a community that is intertwined and connected. And so wherever you are today in your Christmas, as we are here on Christmas Eve for 2016, you're going about those things that are customary for you. Maybe you're busy in a kitchen, in your kitchen, cooking. Maybe you're delivering to neighbors of yours that you want to share some trifle, something that would be meaningful to them. One friend of mine takes her two daughters, and they go visit this woman who is homebound and physically disabled, and they care for her for the day, and that's how they spend their Christmas. And so maybe there are those kinds of things that you're doing, or maybe you're just gathered around there in your living room with loved ones and reflecting upon all the good that has been bestowed upon you.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly Miriam and I are here with you in that. And it would be, I suppose it would just be inappropriate for us to not say Merry Christmas and how good it is to be together at a time when we could use a little more togetherness, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Imagine those, going back to the original Christmas, those three guys that traveled however long following a star, they brought gifts. They didn't know what they were going to find.
Mm.
And I wonder if they were disappointed in who they had to deliver those gifts to. And then, of course, you never hear what Mary and Joseph did with those gifts.
Yeah, yeah.
How long did they live on
right.
the income from those gifts?
Right.
But the giver and the receiver, it didn't seem to matter. That wasn't even a part of the story.
Right.
We put too much emphasis, I think, now on the gift from one to another, whatever department store it came from, and not the act of giving.
Yeah.
Who got it?
Indeed.
How they felt about it?
Yes.
And who received it?
And the obligatory aspects of that. You
right.
know, the pressure
right.
to be able to give the right gift
yeah.
or a gift that will be appreciated. Yeah, we've done that to ourselves,
yeah.
haven't we? Yeah. When you think of Christmases past, is there one in your mind that is the most, I don't know, meaningful? Is there any one Christmas that you think of more than others?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm in the same boat with a lot of people. It's my first bike.
Ah.
When I got my first bike, and of course, I was the youngest in my family, so as soon as Mom and Dad would go to the 11 o'clock service at church, my brothers would get me up so we could play with all of Santa's presents and then rewrap them before Mom and Dad got home.
Oh my gosh, how horrible.
I know.
Terrible.
I didn't have a chance. Poor Santa Claus.
Yes.
I know. So they got me up. Miriam, come see what Santa brought you. I rode around on that little bike through the, you know, hallway and then went back to bed.
And your parents were clueless.
We had to protect the parents.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, they worked much too hard on Santa Claus for us to burst their bubble.
I have to tell you a similar sort of thing that was unintentional on my in my case. I think I was 8, 9 years old, and my parents had hidden all of the toys in the trunk of the car. Right. And so for some reason, I was looking for something else, some tool or something that I supposed might be in the trunk of their car.
Oh, no.
Grabbed the keys off of Dad's dresser, ran to the garage, opened up the trunk to find this treasure trove of stuff. And I was delighted and terrified at the same moment. And so quickly closed the trunk. I don't even remember now what I was looking for. Ran back up, threw the keys on the, and none the wiser, right?
Yeah, you know, so, right.
Those were the moments, I suppose, from our childhood. Are there those in recent days that shine in your mind? Are there places you've been on Christmas that are special to you?
Well, it revolves around family for me. So when I can share with the people I love, I can't think of a specific one that stands out as golden, but it's so schmaltzy when you think about gathering with your family and playing some stupid game, whether it's Twister or something else. That's the precious stuff.
Yeah. Well, folks, this is our pleasure. It is great to have you with us on this Christmas Eve here on this lovely Saturday morning in December. That's the show. Merry Christmas, everybody. You be sure to stay in tune with us. We'll be looking for you next week right here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.